Welcome to the Red Zone.
The Red Zone.
With Soren Petro. An exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com. For the next 60 minutes, this is your in-depth, inside look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's your host, Soren Petro.
Good afternoon and welcome. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday. 3 o'clock every Wednesday is when we're live in the Red Zone. Appreciate you catching us whenever you can. Podcast via the archives. We do appreciate it. And hello to all the folks in the Chiefs Kingdom here around the Midwest, but also around the globe to our friends in Canada, to our soldiers abroad. Get a number of emails from the folks listening all over the world, so always good to hear from you. Remember, you can email the program, just redzone@kcchiefs.org. That is redzone@kcchiefs.org. That's how you get the emails to us. We'll get to some of your emails a little bit later on. Also, Glenn Dorsey, Chiefs defensive end, will join us a little bit later on here in the Red Zone. We will also break down the game between the Bucks and the Chiefs, some of the highlights and lowlights for the Kansas City Chiefs, and take a look as well at what it takes to be an AFC West champion, documented from 2002 through 2009, 8 years. We always go back to 2002. It's a good, if you're a football geek and you like to study the numbers, always good to go back and take a look from here, the present, the most recent years, all the way back through 02, because 02 is when the league expanded to 32 teams and broke everyone up into 8 divisions of 4. So it's a good place to grade it out. We'll see what the your average AFC West champion looks like. You might be surprised. It might be a little bit better than you think. A lot of people think the AFC West is a weak division. Well, maybe it is, but the champion is not. We'll talk about what their record is, what some of their stats are a little bit later on. All right, let's talk about the Chiefs and Bucks as they finished up 20-15 Tampa on Saturday as the Bucks come away the winner. A couple of things to note. One, Maurice Leggett being down on the field. A lot of folks talking about how after he went down, the Bucks really seemed to rally and the Chiefs seemed to be a little bit in awe. And no doubt that's got to be one of the scariest things ever, certainly for the player that's down, but also for his teammates who know how physical and violent the game is, to see what is possible, what could happen, is always a difficult situation, I think, for a player out on the field. And no doubt it probably did echo through the minds of all of the Chiefs players. However, not to be callous, but reality is injuries are a part of the game, and you've got to go on. You've got to continue to play. So, of course, hope for Maurice Leggett a speedy recovery. But I'm going to say that that's one I'm going to take out. I think this is one I'm going to call a disappointing game for the Kansas City Chiefs. Not as disappointing as the Atlanta Falcons game, but still disappointing. This was a winnable game. It's one the Chiefs started quickly. The Bucs are a team that's rebuilding like the Kansas City Chiefs. And regardless of what happens throughout the course of the game, it is a win business. This organization has talked about playing the preseason, certainly to evaluate players first and foremost, but to try to win the game. That anytime you step out on the field, you try to win the game. And that was not accomplished. The Chiefs now 0-6 under Todd Haley in preseason. So a 20-15 loss to the Bucs, I think, has to be called a disappointment for this football team. Now, within that disappointment, I'll call it a mild disappointment because I don't think it was a train wreck. I don't think the Chiefs played horribly. For the second week in a row, the Chiefs outgained their opposition, held the time of possession lead, and I think that's of note. It means that they are getting things done. 366 yards of offense. They gave up 312. Frankly, you'd like to see the 312 be even lower, but there were times that the defense played better. Initially, the run defense doing a good job against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I thought that was important to note. When it was first team against first team, you had solid run defense being played by the Kansas City Chiefs. That was an improvement over the Atlanta Falcons. And the quarterback play, a huge improvement this week. One, Matt Cassel got more time to get into the game, get into the flow of the game. After a 6-for-8, 25 yards, no TDs, no picks last week, this week he comes back 14-of-19, 125 yards, a touch, and no interceptions. Still averaging under 7 yards per attempt. You'd like to see the ball go down the field a little bit more, but knowing it's preseason, you can certainly live with 6.6 yards per attempt. Again, you get towards 8, you're having a great day. You want to be in the 7s. He was at about 6.6 yards per attempt, but one touchdown and no interceptions. And what's important about that touchdown, a 6-yard strike to Jeremy Horn in the red zone. And Mitch Holthus mentioned this several weeks ago here in the red zone about the importance of them getting plays, about the importance of Matt Cassel making plays in the red zone. Last year, we've chronicled it a lot, 16 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. Got to take away a couple of those interceptions, probably get it down to the 12 range. If you can get it under 10, that's a sensational season for a quarterback. But in addition to that, the plays made by the quarterback has to go up. More touchdowns. You know, I think everybody would love to say, okay, first and goal at the 8, we're just going to run it down their throat. We're going to run it 3 times, and after the first, second, or third rush, we will be in the end zone and be a touchdown. That's a great mindset to have. Reality is it's difficult when backs are up against the wall. Defenses tighten up. They have less field to defend. It gets even tougher to stuff that running game in there. You're going to have to make some plays in the red zone with the passing attack. The Chiefs did it. Again, not a huge thing. It's one touchdown. It's one play. But it's the type of play that if you can make that play every game, then get a big touchdown out of Jamaal Charles on a run, you know, you're 14-0. If you can get a big play and you can get a smart play by the quarterback in the red zone, now you've got a good start. I thought that was a very important part of the equation, Matt Cassel, not turning the football over and also getting the touchdown in the red zone with the passing game, something the Chiefs are going to have to do this year if they want to contend for the division title. The other part about the offense, let's just stay with the offense and we'll bring it back around to the defense. The other part about the offense that was impressive, again, 152 yards on the ground, 34 carries for 4.5 a pop. Very good numbers. Jamaal Charles, again, 5.2 yards per carry, but also some good rushing from the other backs. Jackie Battle had a very impressive performance. The Chiefs Television Network making Jackie Battle, I believe, the player of the game, 11 carries for 59 yards, 21-yard run where he showed some great field vision, and held on to the football. That was a problem for Jackie Battle last year. Battle can play special teams, which gives him a leg up on that number 3 running back spot. And you see now that if you do go through injuries, and the running back position is a hellacious one to deal with all the hits that running backs do, if you get down to Jackie Battle, he showed some great vision and the ability to run with the football. Going to have to cover kicks, going to have to play special teams, but when called upon to play your position, you've got to be able to play it. Jackie Battle's 11 carries for 59 yards makes it look as though he can certainly play the position. That was a very good sign for the Chiefs. Thomas Jones put one on the ground. Not good. Open the door for Tampa Bay getting a 3-0 win. I think that's certainly a disaster for the Chiefs to turn the football over on their half of the field, giving the Bucs a short field and the chance to put 3 on the board. The Chiefs looked like the offense was revved up and ready to go right down the field. The second possession they did. Had they gone down and cashed for any points on the first possession, you're looking at a 10-0, maybe a 14-0 lead for the Kansas City Chiefs. And in a regular season game, it gets real difficult to come back from that kind of start. But Thomas Jones put the ball on the ground. Very disappointing. However, I'll stick up for Thomas Jones in this standpoint. In the last 4 years, with all the carries, all those are 1,000-yard-plus seasons for him on the ground, all the carries, all the catches, last 4 years, he's fumbled the ball only 7 times and lost only 2 of them. This is not par for the course with Thomas Jones. This is an anomaly. I think you look at that, you say 7 fumbles in 4 years, guy averages 1-plus, almost 2 fumbles per year. Let's hope this was one of them. He's got it out of his system. That narrows it down to 1. Maybe the Chiefs get on the ball on that one, and he doesn't turn it over at all. So not something to fear long term. Would like to have seen him have a little more success in the running game, as he has been the number one starter and, again, has a lot of people, myself included, scratching their heads about where this rushing attack is going and who's going to be first and who's going to be second for the team. Jamaal Charles continues to impress. Thomas Jones continues to be the number one. We'll see how things continue to shake out. Catching the football, I mentioned Jeremy Horn coming up with a touchdown catch, and he has been very impressive throughout the preseason, but only one catch for 6 yards. It was a touchdown. It was in the red zone. It was with the first-team offense. You like to see that. But also, Dwayne Bowe getting involved in the offense. 3 catches for 33 yards, and it looked like an easy part of the offense. Looked like it was easy to get him open, easy to get the football to him. And you got to feel good about a guy who has really, you know, number one plus, or at least 1A, type receiving skills, at least quality number 2 receiving skills, a guy that is a tremendous athlete. If he's catching the football, can be a big part of this offense, and he seemed to get into the offense. 3 catches for 33 yards. Looks like whenever they're ready to flip the switch on and Dwayne Bowe get regular snaps, that he will be ready. Maybe this will be the breakout season that many people have talked about. He has had no comments in camp. He's just basically kept to himself. He's stayed low under the radar screen. Maybe the Debo show will explode on the field more so than off the field. Dwayne Bowe has had, I think, a good camp by most people's estimation. I think he's had good camps before. It's still going to come down to the regular season, but you like to see that the offense seemed to be in a flow with Dwayne Bowe. He seemed to be in sync. It seemed to be easy to get him the football, and it looks like that may be a weapon. Chris Chambers, a couple of catches as well. I think we know what Chris Chambers brings to the equation for this football team. And then, of course, Dexter McCluster, everybody's favorite rookie. One catch, 17 yards, again showing his big playability. Not quite the coming out party. Tackled for a loss on his reverse that they ran for him. Seemed like everybody in the building knew when he came out there to watch for the reverse. They gave him the ball. Really a great play to just lose 1 yard on that, as he had guys in the backfield 4 and 5 yards deep, and he got back to within 1 yard of the line of scrimmage. McCluster does a fine job getting the ball back up there, makes one catch. You see the speed as he turns it on, turns the quarter, dives forward for 17 yards. I think Dexter McCluster clearly going to be a weapon that has to be defended. The Bucs defended it on that reverse, but just think about it. Every time you run him around on a reverse, they're going to commit a lot of people to it. Does that open up a screen coming out the other direction? You run him a reverse to the left side, you fake it to him, you turn around, the offensive line leaks to the right, you've got a screen pass out on the right side, and you've got a big play potentially looming over there, especially if you've got McCluster and Jamal Charles on the field together. Those are the types of things. It's not just what Dexter McCluster does yardage-wise. 2 touches for 16 yards in this game. It's also what Dexter McCluster does to the defense. How many openings does that give to the other players on the team? And I think you saw that with that reverse. They're going to know right where he is and be assigning players the responsibility of staying with Dexter McCluster. Hopefully that opens up opportunities for other football players. The other part of the offensive game came in special teams, and that was Javier Arenas, who you don't want to get too excited too fast. You don't want to put too many labels on him. But, man, has he been exciting for 2 games. The kick return for a touchdown call back plus another 40-plus yarder in the game against the Falcons. A 50-yard return here in this game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Javier Arenas, a very impressive showing so far as the kick returner. In fact, you know, you start to wonder, as he becomes so valuable as a kick returner, you've got to limit how many snaps he gets on the defensive side of the ball, because he is a game changer. When you can tilt that field, take the kickoff after a field goal has been put on the board and put it back where the offense starts in the other team's territory, it's almost like a turnover. It has that kind of power to it. A huge kick return again for Javier Arenas, and clearly one of the more exciting returners, it looks like, in the NFL right now. We'll see again early and again against preseason competition. We will see what ends up happening here in the long run. But Javier Arenas, impressive. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. I mentioned early in the game, nice job of shutting down the run against the Bucs. That's important. The depth, the running game got going later on for Tampa Bay, and really their passing game got going once Josh Freeman got knocked out of the football game. They started making things happen. Looked to me like the Chiefs were trying a number of different things. We saw a blitz where both Mike Vrabel as well as Andy Studebaker came off the same side. They got good pressure. That forced a poor pass and an incompletion. But we also saw the Chiefs get burnt on a blitz. I know a lot of people are talking about Brandon Flowers and how he got beat for the 53-yard pass from Spurlock. I'm going to stand up for him and say this. Yes, you got to break down and make that tackle. But to me, he initially played it right, did everything except execute the tackle. And you got to question the scheme. I'm going to put Romeo Crennel on the hot seat on this, as he would himself, I have no doubt. And I'll put the other guys on the defense on the hot seat for this. That play cannot just come down to Brandon Flowers. That play breaks down when you sell out on the blitz. The Chiefs came with 6 individuals, 3 linemen, 2 linebackers, and the safety, Eric Berry. Plus, there were 2 more guys in underneath coverage. There was at least, by my count, 9 guys in the shot of the television screen. And that's a small window. That's not a coaching, view from high atop a tower. Just the television screen, 9 guys for the Kansas City Chiefs could be seen. When you commit 9 guys inside the box, you come with 6 of them. You've got corners out on an island on the outside. He played it right. He stayed deep. He didn't let the receiver get behind him for the big play. He needed to rally, make the tackle. But that play is designed to get to the quarterback. When you come with 6, you have to get to the quarterback, either with a sack or at least with a pressure that forces him to throw the football early, maybe giving the DB a chance to break on the ball, or at least a poorly thrown pass that ends up in a completion. That play failed long before it ever got to Brandon Flowers. You've got to be able to perform. You've got to be able to get to the quarterback when you're called upon to get there. Now, I'm not going to throw Eric Berry under the bus. He was picked up by the running back on the play. But when you come with 6 guys, Somebody has to get there. They at least have to pressure the quarterback and force an early throw. The Bucs picked up the blitz very well. They kept 7 men in, all 5 linemen, of course, and 2 running backs as well. They pick up the rush. The rush is not able to get there. When you come with 6 in the National Football League, you have to get there. The Chiefs, 0 sacks against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That right now is concern number one. The run defense is still a concern, but the bigger concern is getting to the quarterbacks. 2 games, 0 sacks for the Chiefs defensive line. For the Chiefs as a whole, they have not been able to pressure the opposition's quarterback. As I mentioned, they have pressured him a couple of times, got the ball there, but it has not resulted in sacks, and too often it has not resulted in pressure. You're going to get there sometimes. You got to get there more frequently. Only 22 sacks last year. That number has got to go up. You need to be in the 40s to be a successful defensive football team. They had 22 sacks last year. That was a problem. That'll be helped, of course, by better run defense, which, as I said, was better early on. So not a disaster for the defense. That one play, that big play, though, a huge one, keeps the Tampa Bay Bucs in there. Think about how that game looks different if the Chiefs are able to keep that score off the board. Think about how this game looks different if the Chiefs don't put the football on the ground on their first possession. Could be a very different football game overall. I think we saw some good things. Again, mildly disappointing for the football team, but a chance to come back in the Chiefs charity game, benefiting Children's Center for the Visually Impaired against the Philadelphia Eagles. A chance to come back on Friday night against the Eagles in the home crowd and look impressive against a football team that a lot of people think, even without Donovan McNabb, will be contending for the NFC East crown. I know the people in Philadelphia think they're going to. We'll see if it ends up happening. All right, when we come back, we're going to break down the AFC West. What does it take to be an AFC West champion? I guess I shouldn't say breaking down the AFC West, not this year, but the history of the AFC West. Last 8 years, what does the AFC West champion look like? That's coming up next here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left of the fullback. And a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan. They'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the 3 most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Big 12 college football action returns to Kansas City in 2010. Tickets are on sale now to see the Kansas State Wildcats take on the Iowa State Cyclones Saturday, September 18th at the new Arrowhead Stadium. The 2009 battle at Arrowhead featured the Wildcats blocking the Cyclones' game-tying extra point with 32 seconds left to preserve the one-point victory. Tickets start at just $20 and are available at the new Arrowhead Stadium box office, Ticketmaster.com, or any Ticketmaster outlet. Head coach Paul Rhodes and his Cyclones look to start the Big 12 conference season off right as they face off against the Wildcats and head coach Bill Snyder for the second year in a row at Arrowhead Stadium. Great seats are available in all levels and start at only $20. Get your tickets now at the new Arrowhead Stadium box office, Ticketmaster.com, or any Ticketmaster outlet. It's the K-State Wildcats and Iowa State Cyclones. When Big 12 college football returns to the new Arrowhead Stadium Saturday, September 18th.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Jamal Charles!
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game! And the Chiefs put the hammer down!
Now
is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday. We'll get to Glenn Dorsey a little bit later on here in the Red Zone. Get to some of your emails as well. Let's talk about what it takes to be the champion of the AFC West. Since 2002, as I mentioned in the opening segment, when they went to the eight divisions of four, what does it take to be the champion in the AFC West? Eight teams have done it, and obviously the most dominant team in the division in that time has been the San Diego Chargers. Chargers have won four and counting. We'll see if they get to number five this year. They've won five of the eight, included in that the last four. Go back to 02, just if you need your memory refreshed. Raiders won it in 02 with Bill Callahan as the coach. The Chiefs in 03 with Dick Vermeil as the coach. San Diego Chargers in 04 with Marty Schottenheimer. Broncos in 05 with Mike Shanahan. Since then, it's been all Chargers. 06 was Marty Schottenheimer. Last 3 years have been Norv Turner. The average record for the AFC West champion, try 11.9 wins and 4.1 losses. In other words, 12 wins and 4 losses is what the average AFC West champion looks like. Run through the years, Raiders in 02, 11-5, Chiefs 13-3. I think we all remember the 03 season there. Chargers 12-4, Broncos, Mike Shanahan's 05 team 13-3. Chargers under Marty, his final year there, 14-2. Norv Turner's last 3 years, 11-5, 8-8. The anomaly in 2008, 2009, last year, the Chargers, after a slow start, winning 11 in a row to finish at 13-3. So, rule of thumb, you're going to need 11 wins to win this division. One time, it's gotten down to 8. That really drags down the average below 12 wins. If you take that out, you're well above 12 wins. In fact, probably about 12.5 wins per season to be the AFC West champion. But rule of thumb is you've got to be able to win 11 football games if you want to be the AFC West champion. That's just the way it works. I think that's probably a good mindset to have, 11 wins. I think you figure 10 wins get you in the playoffs, although it didn't for the Kansas City Chiefs several years ago in 2005. They were left out. Dick Vermeil's final year, they were 10-6 and did not make the playoffs. But a good rule of thumb is 10-6 will get you in the playoffs. It looks like 11-5 will win you the division. Good line of thinking here is if one team in the division can get to 11-5, they've probably beaten up on the other teams in the division. It'd be difficult for anybody else to get to 11 wins. But the average is about 12 victories. And I think that's higher than people think. I don't think you look at the AFC West and say, you know, most people, at least nationally, wouldn't say this is one of the toughest divisions of football. And maybe it hasn't been. Maybe it is that one team, certainly the Chargers over the last few years, has been the best team and fattens up its record by knocking off its fellow AFC West opponents. Just something to consider there. How do they fare as far as offense and defense goes? Well, I'll say this. It's been an offensive division. Offense has ruled the roost. Defense, not so much. As far as rankings go, if you rank the teams in the NFL, where do they rank? There hasn't been a team, based on yardage, which is what the NFL goes by for its rankings. Based on yardage, there has not been a team inside the top 10. In other words, 10 has been the highest that any team has been in defense. That's the highest ranking any defensive team has been according to yards. Here are the ranks. 16 going backwards. 16, 25, 14, 10, 15, 18, 29. That'd be the Kansas City Chiefs in 2003, and 11. It's not a coincidence that 11 was the Oakland Raiders in 02. They would go on to make it to the Super Bowl. The 10 mark is the San Diego Chargers under Marty Schottenheimer that went 14-2 and a lot of people thought should be in the Super Bowl. Those are the two best defensive teams to win the AFC West. Now, offense, we've seen some firepower, especially when it comes to points. Let's save that. We'll save the point side of the equation. But let's go with yards offensively. Rankings for the AFC West champions, 10, 11, 20. the San Diego Chargers. 4-5-10-2, that was the Kansas City Chiefs in 2003. And number one, the Oakland Raiders in 2002. So the only AFC West participant in the Super Bowl was the Raiders in 02. They had the number one offense yardage-wise and the number 11 defense. You've got to be pretty good to get to the Super Bowl. The Raiders were good on both sides of the football, and that was a big key in them getting to the Super Bowl. Now, overall points, and points are more accurate since you win with points. Defensively, the teams do get better. In fact, they're better across the board. All of the champions are better in the points statistic than they are in the yardage. Points-wise, 11, 15, 5, 7, 3, 11, 19, and 6. So you've got some teams that can really defend points-wise, and that was enabled them to get to the Super Bowl or get to the division championship. In fact, the Denver Broncos having success, the number 3-point defense when they won under Mike Shanahan, number 3 against the points, an impressive performance. Offensively, points-wise, it's a showcase for scoring the AFC West. Ranks 4, 2, 5, 1, 7, 3, 1, and 2. Those are highly ranked offenses. So what's the average AFC West champion rank? The average AFC West champion ranks third in the NFL in points, eighth in yards for the offense. Defensively, it ranks 10th in the NFL in points and 17th in yards. You can see the yardage statistic, a mediocre number at 17, right down the middle. 10th in points, though, the champion usually does a pretty good job of keeping teams out of the end zone, more of a bend-but-don't-break style of defense in the AFC West. But offensively, we'll score with you. The AFC West will put some points on the board. Third overall, a third average ranking for the AFC West in points scored. Eighth average ranking in yards. So it is an offensive conference. And then here's the other thing. I took a compilation of what is the average AFC West champion statistically and then compared it to the 2009 Chiefs to try to give us a baseline of where the Chiefs need to improve. How much better do they need to get? One very encouraging sign for the Kansas City Chiefs was their ability to run the football. The Chiefs averaged 121 yards per game on the ground. The AFC West champion, the average AFC West champion, averaged 126. They're 5 yards a game, or excuse me, 5 yards, yeah, 5 yards per game away from being the average AFC West championship rushing team. So their running attack is good enough. Now, that obviously with Jamaal Charles over the second half, they played above that number. So theoretically, they could be even better than the average AFC West division champion when it comes to running the football. If that is the case, that takes pressure off the passing game, takes pressure off the defense. The better you get in any of these statistical categories, the less you have to accomplish in the other categories. Running the football looks like it's the Chiefs' meal ticket to trying to be competitive in this division. Now, how do they rank when it comes to the total offense and the passing offense? Well, total offense, the Chiefs average 303 yards per game. The AFC West average for the champion, 357. That puts them roughly 54 yards per game behind pace. So they've got to find 54 yards per game. As I said, they're about 5 yards behind pace, a little over 5 yards behind pace with the rushing attack. That means the rest of it comes from the passing attack. Chiefs averaged last year just 183 yards in the passing game. The average AFC West champion averaged 230. The Chiefs have got to find 47 yards per game, 48 yards per game if you round up, in the passing attack. They've got to be better throwing the football. They've got to be better throwing the football into the end zone. 26 touchdowns is the average for the AFC West as far as touchdown passes go. 10 interceptions. If you want to be the champion of this division, 26 and 10 is your yardstick. We talked about Matt Castle taking that next step in previous weeks, going from 16 and 16 TD to INT to 24 and 12. Well, 26 and 10 is what it takes to get to the average. Now, doesn't mean that everybody's done that. Their years, Phillip Rivers, 22 and 16 one year. But Rivers, the last 2 years, 34 and 11 and 29 and 10. So for the most part, you got to have a better than 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. In fact, the only time was Rivers 3 years ago that there wasn't a 2-to-1 TD to INT ratio for the quarterbacking in this division for the divisional champion. So the passing attack is where this team has got to get better. Points scored. The average AFC West champion averages 27.9 points per game. The Chiefs last year, 18.4. That is a difference of 9.5 points per game. Let's call it 10. The Chiefs have to find 10 more points per game to get to what is the average mark of the AFC West champion. 10 more points per game. Think about that. That is a lot of points to get this team to where it needs to be. 10 more offensive points per game. And, oh, by the way, that's just scoring points. I haven't gotten to the defensive side of the equation. Now, you may not have to get to 10 more points per game if you can knock out a big chunk on defense, but they've got work to do there in the hole as well. Defensively, let's take a look at the numbers it takes in the AFC West. Let's start with the points. We'll stay there. Chiefs last year gave up 424 points. The average for the AFC West champion is 308. It's 116 points they've got to get better. That's 7.27, 7.3. Let's call it a touchdown a game better. They've got to keep 7 points per game off the board. 10 more points on offense, 7 fewer points on defense. This team needs to get 17 points per game better and a point differential to be the average AFC West champion. Now, I think this year is going to be more like that year where the Chargers went 8-8. I think this division comes back to the pack a little bit. I don't know that you'll have to achieve these numbers to get to being the champion, but as a rule of thumb, on average, what you need to be shooting for is giving up a touchdown per game less and scoring 10 more points per game. That's what you need to be the champion in this division. We'll see if they get there. How do they shake up against the pass and against the run? Well, yardage-wise, the Kansas City Chiefs giving up 156-plus per game. The average champ, 104. 52 yards per game better the Kansas City Chiefs need to get on defense. Just against the run, they've got to give up 52 yards per game less in the rushing department to be the average defense of an AFC West champion. Passing attack, what do the Chiefs give up? They're getting close. 232 per game the Chiefs gave up last year. The average AFC West championship defense, 223. Puts them 9 yards away from where they need to be. So they need to get about 61, 62 yards better. Now, points are the key. It's a touchdown. But when you equate it over to the yards, that's where the yards get important. If you don't let the team get close enough to kick a field goal, if you can take off 20 yards on a 20-yard drive that went from midfield to the 30 and resulted in a 47-yard field goal, you've taken 3 points off the board. That's how the yardage ties into points. If a team can drive down to your goal line and score and you can hold them at the 20 and force them to a field goal, that takes 4 more points off the board. You can get there. 7 points is a long way to go on defense, but it is doable. Is it doable in 1 year? That's probably a little too much to ask. The Chiefs are going to need, if they're going to be a divisional champion this year, they're probably going to need this division to play back to them, play down to them, and I think that possibility does exist as we've talked about the personnel changes with the San Diego Chargers. Got to get better on offense. I think there's high expectations that this team will get better on offense and need to get better on defense, particularly at the front seven. What does this say? Right here, these numbers tell us that rushing attack is pretty good. Pass defense is getting close. All right? So what does it bring it down to? Two things that we have talked about since the end of last year. The quarterback has to make more plays. He's got to find more passing yards. He's got to find more points in the red zone, which he did with Jeremy Horn last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the front seven has to come to play. Two themes that we have talked about for a long time. When you put the numbers in, you crunch them, you break them down, it says exactly what we've talked about all along. The quarterback, Matt Cassel, needs to take that step. There's every indication, based on the history of quarterbacks going to new teams, that he will be able to take a step. He needs to. I think it's a make-or-break year for Matt Cassel. I think the Chiefs will probably view next year as the make-or-break year based on how his contract is structured. But for me, this is the year. There has to be a sign of serious progress for this quarterback this year. He can take this team to where it needs to go offensively. We feel confident that the rushing attack is going to be there with Jamal Charles, the combination of Thomas Jones, Jackie Battle even looking good running the football last week. But can the quarterback step up? Can the receiver step up and not lead the league in drops? Where would his numbers have been had they not been dropping the football? Because it's not just the 12-yard completion, the 12 yards that come off the board, the little tick of completion percentage that comes off the board for the quarterback when the receiver drops it. If that was a 12-yard completion on 3rd and 7, that team comes off the field. If it's a 12-yard completion on 1st and 10 and they don't end up making the first down, that's another set of downs they didn't get that they would have had. The receivers can be huge in lifting the numbers of Matt Cassel and making Matt Cassel look like one of these AFC West quarterbacks, one of these AFC West divisional champion quarterbacks. He can get there if the wide receivers around him can take him there. If he puts the football in their hands, they have to catch it. That will be huge. On defense, must stop the run. The pass rush is anemic. They need to get better. They have not sacked the quarterback in preseason yet. It's going to be vital to pressure the quarterback against the Eagles on Friday. Start showing some semblance of being able to get to the quarterback. They'll be helped out in that department if they can stop the run. 50-plus yards per game, they have to get better with the run. It's an important statistic. We'll see if they can get there. We'll take a break, come back, talk about some of your emails. It's next here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Welcome to Chiefs Country, where fans like you wear their passion for their team like war paint. It's for you, Chiefs fans, that we created Chiefs Checking with the official Chiefs debit card and discounts on Chiefs gear all year long.
Visit Metcalf Bank or ChiefsChecking.com and for a limited time, sign up and score a Chiefs game day cooler.
Chiefs Checking, because you're not just a fan on Sunday.
Only at Metcalf Bank. Strong roots, endless possibilities. Member Central Bank Company, member FDIC. See bank for details.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365 and much more.
I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at kcchiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
The off-season workouts are complete. Training camp is underway. The new Arrowhead Stadium is ready to make its Monday Night Football debut. The NFL season is near. Will you be there? Great seats are available with tickets to Chiefs games starting at just $30. Single game Chiefs tickets are on sale now at kcchiefs.com, the stadium box office, or via Ticketmaster. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium and be there when your Chiefs take on the Packers, the Eagles, AFC West rivals the Broncos, Raiders, and Chargers, or the 49ers, Cardinals, Bills, Jags, or Titans. Great seats are available for all games, but won't last long and are subject to availability. Don't wait. Get your single game Chiefs tickets now at kcchiefs.com, the stadium box office, or any Ticketmaster location. The new Arrowhead, new body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Coming up here in a little bit, Glenn Dorsey, Chiefs defensive end, scheduled to join us. Time to get to some of your emails, redzone@kcchiefs.org. That's how you get to us, redzone@kcchiefs.org. Best emailer in the Chiefs kingdom, our man Daryl Zimmer, every week checks in. Canadian Chiefs fan from the Great White North. Daryl says, just watching NFL Network, had a two-minute clip on the Chiefs, plus I was reading a column by Vic Carucci, and with only 2 weeks of camp and after one preseason game, they already have the Chiefs written off for another losing season, saying they haven't seen anything different this year as compared to other seasons. Same old Chiefs. Talk about expecting, quote, instant results. It hurts to listen or read this stuff. I know. Quit listening and quit reading. I can't tell you to quit listening and quit reading. I mean, you're a football junkie, Daryl. You're going to check out the NFL poobahs and what they say because you're like me. You're like the rest of the football geeks. If you're listening to this, you got to be a football geek. You're checking out every piece of information you can get. But every now and then, take a look back. Now with the internet, it's kind of like our own file cabinet. We can go back and take a look at different things. I just put in 2009 NFL season predictions and just to see what came up, see what was out there as far as what people were saying was going to happen for the 2009 season before the 09 season began. Now think about that. Okay, what's going to happen? What's going to be the big expectation? Best teams that won't make the playoffs. Titans, Falcons, Cowboys, Eagles, Titans, Bears, Eagles, Jets, Steelers. Some success there. And they go on down and they go through a whole multitude of different categories and who's going to be the, different things. Star who has a subpar season. All right. Anquan Boldin, Kurt Warner, Brett Favre, Ben Roethlisberger, Brett Favre, Michael Turner, Brett Favre, Terrell Owens, and Matt Ryan. I mean, the only one there would say Michael Turner, and that was due to injury, and I think that was to be expected. Otherwise, I don't know that anybody in there had a subpar season. Ben Roethlisberger had a lot of off-the-field issues, had some injuries, but when he was out there, he played at a high level. Non-star was a breakout season. Greg Olsen, not so much. Had him on my fantasy team. JerMichael Finley, well, you're hearing that a lot about this year. Didn't really break out last year. Chris Henry. Ray Rice, Anthony Gonzalez got hurt, Greg Olsen, Pierre Thomas of the Saints, Greg Jennings of the Packers, Pierre Thomas of the Saints. Not so much, really, as far as being accurate on that. Coach who won't be back, Jim Zorn, Dick Geron, Tom Cable is back, Jim Zorn, Dick Geron, Wade Phillips, Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels is back, and the most popular choice was Wade Phillips of the Cowboys. He is back, so the expert's not so accurate there. Player who won't be back in 2010, Javon Walker with the Raiders, true. Brett Favre, all wrong. Fred Taylor with the Patriots, wrong. Edrin James with the Seahawks, well, that's kind of a no-brainer. Brett Favre and Derek Mason with the Ravens, they ended up really missing on that one. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. I mean, the experts, you know, they write entertaining pieces. Take it as a piece of entertainment. When you see the predictions are largely based on last year's results. You want a great way to take a look at what I think the best people are out there? Take a look at what Vegas puts up. If you go to Las Vegas, take a look at their over-under odds, their total victory numbers. Those are probably your best indicator of where teams are expected to be. They've got their money where their mouth is. But you look at the predictions right now, they pretty much have everybody finishing in the same order that they finished last year. And we know that won't be the case. Generally speaking, about half the teams from this year's playoffs, year in, year out, half the teams will be back in some fashion. Whether they're a wild card, now they win the division, they were a division winner, they're back as a wild card. The other half will be new faces. What you've got to try to be, what you've got to try to hope is the Chiefs are one of those new faces. Might still be a year away for the Chiefs. Probably is still a year away. We are still a year away from the Chiefs being a playoff team. But there's no reason to believe that they can't make serious progress towards 8-8. And oftentimes teams arrive at the party a year before they're supposed to. Maybe that'll be this year for the Chiefs. I'm not predicting it. I'm like most people. I'll give my final prediction when we get done with the preseason. I'm thinking 8-8 for this football team, but with an upside to get to 10-6. 8-8 would be marked improvement for the ball club. But if the division plays down, the opportunity may be there for them to knock on the door for a division championship if it plays down towards the 10-6 range. We'll see what happens. Daryl, always good to hear from you, my friend. Again, you can email us, redzone@kcchiefs.org. That is redzone@kcchiefs.org. Let us know if you got a question, a thought, and an interest, something you're looking for us to look up. We always love to crunch the numbers here in the Red Zone. We'll take a break. When we come back, Glenn Dorsey, Chiefs defensive end, joins us next.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. and the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Ivy, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you. We're going to talk some defense now in the Red Zone. Joining us now, defensive end for the Kansas City Chiefs, Glenn Dorsey. Glenn, how are you?
Pretty good, man. How you doing?
Not too bad. You ready for training camp to be done?
Pretty much, man. It's getting close.
Yeah. Do you see the light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
I think guys just focus on, you know, taking it one day at a time and not really looking, you know, towards the end. Because, I mean, we still have a lot of work to be done, so I think that's everybody's mindset.
The body, how's the body holding up this time of year?
I'm good, man. I'm pretty good, man. I'm ready to roll.
Do you start feeling the practices, all the padded practices you've had when you get up each morning?
I think so, but hey, everybody around the league is doing it too. So you know, that's the way I look at it. You know, if I'm sore in the morning, everybody else sore too. So and everybody else got to push through it just like I do.
Yeah, I mean it's a necessary evil, I guess. But one you certainly got to be looking forward to getting through. Eagles coming to Kansas City, the debut of the new Arrowhead. How nice is it? I mean, I don't think you like getting on a plane for those first two games. Now you've got the next two at home, plus the first one in the regular season at home. It's got to be nice to know you've got a month without having to get on a plane.
Yeah, it's gonna be real nice, man. And you know, we got the Eagles coming in town this week. We got to play well against them. And, you know, we had that Monday night game with New Aaron here. So it's going to be exciting. Everybody, you know, over here looking forward to it.
The third game is the one that everybody says is the most like a dress rehearsal for the regular season. Game four, more about keeping guys healthy and making final decisions on personnel as far as how the roster is going to shape up. You expect to play more against the Eagles because it is week three?
To tell you the truth, we really haven't discussed it. You know, and I mean – each team is different, and, you know, I never know what to expect, you know, so, I mean, I'm just going to go and play as long as they want me to, you know, and it, as I play a lot, you know, it's a good thing. I need to see where I'm at, you know, whereas just like win-wise and stuff like that, you know, and it's good to get the, like you say, the rehearsal out the way.
Do you get more up to play a team like the Philadelphia Eagles, a playoff team, even though it is preseason, or no, when it's preseason, it's just a dress rehearsal and it doesn't really matter who it is?
Nah, man, a game is a game to me, man. I mean, I don't care if it's preseason or not. You know, it's still the Eagles coming in here, and we're going to be in air here, you know. So I don't think anybody looking at it as this is just a preseason game. You know, we playing to win.
Year two under Todd Haley. We're talking to Glenn Dorsey, Chiefs defensive end here in the Red Zone. Year two under Todd Haley. How much more comfortable are guys now that there's a sense of knowing what it is the coach is looking for from each guy?
I think everybody. I wouldn't say comfortable. I think everybody just, like you say, knows what he expects. You know, and know his personality, and you know, just like I said, just you know, he gonna push. push you to be good. And, you know, he wants you to work hard every day, and that's what he's looking for. And, you know, and when he don't see it, he's going to let you know about it. So, I mean, I think everybody's pretty much used to it and just, like I said, know what they expect from him.
What about your comfort level at the defensive end position? We talked last year that maybe more is made of the difference between a D-tackle on a 4-3 and a D-end in a 3-4, that maybe the fans think it's a much bigger deal than it really is. That's what we were talking about early last year. What about now with a year under your belt? Is there a major difference? Are you more comfortable now here in year two?
Yeah, I'm more comfortable. I mean, like I said, it's my second year playing this position. And, like I said last year, you know, it changed a little bit, but for the most part, you know, football is football. And, I mean, wherever they want me to play on, that's where I'm going to play. And, you know, they got me an end, so that's, you know what I'm saying, that's where I'm going to play. And I'm enjoying it a little bit, though. You know, I'm getting used to the technique, and, you know, the more games I play in, the more practice they have, the better off I'll be.
The system had to change at least somewhat with Romeo Crennel coming in as the defensive coordinator. Not I'm not asking you for any specifics or to give away any trade secrets, but how big of a change was it? You know, it's 3-4 to a 3-4, but now it's from Clancy Pendergast to Romeo Crennel. How much new terminology, different techniques? How much did it really change with the new D coordinator?
It changed quite a bit. Each coach have their own, like you say, terminology and their own way to do things. And, you know, we had to start from the beginning and just learn through OTAs. And, you know, we had the little mini camps. And right now it's just trying to get it and you know, get it down pat before the season starts, you know, at full speed. So, you know, it was a difference. But, you know, I think everybody got it down pat for the most part.
We went through, and we're talking to Glenn Dorsey here in the Red Zone. We went through the numbers. We charted out the eight previous winners of the AFC West since the league expanded to 32 teams and everybody divided up into eight divisions of four. You know, what the statistics look like for each of the AFC West division winners, where they ranked and what kind of yardage totals they put up, just kind of digested all the numbers that are there. And one of the things, you know, where this team needs to get better is in the run defense. A lot of that starts up front in the trenches. Do you feel like the run defense this year should take a step forward?
Yeah, I think every new thing should. You know, we working hard, and, you know, we breaking down our film, and, you know, we realize that, you know, if we don't stop the run, it's going to be up front in our front seven. And I think guys taking it upon themselves to get prepared for that. And, you know, like I said, can't win if you can't stop the run, you know, so that's our biggest thing. We're working hard every day at practice trying to do that.
The next thing is then pressuring the quarterback. The team took a big step forward in getting going from 10 sacks to 22 sacks, but needs to take another step forward. How much of getting to the quarterback really stems from stopping the run, putting them in those long down and distances, third and sevens instead of third and twos? How much of pass rush is just knowing that you don't have to defend the run?
Yeah, that's big, too. You know, stopping them on first, second down, getting them into third down and five and seven and stuff like that, you know what I mean, when you can just go, you know, instead of having to worry about, well, is he going to slide this way, is he going to double team me over here, like you said, one of the first two downs, put yourself in a situation where you can rush the pass on third down.
You're done with St. Joe, but what did you think of camp moving down to St. Joseph?
I thought it was cool, you know, it was hot.
Yeah.
The people were nice, though. You know, they came out and supported us. You know, every practice, our practice was packed, you know, full of fans. And you know, and I think they had a good time. And, you know, I enjoyed it.
Does that make it easier or harder to practice when you've got all the fans around?
A little bit of both, you know. I mean, because you don't want to look bad in front of your fans. But, I mean, they liven us up and give us energy at the same time. So, I mean, they made everybody pick the competition level up, so you know, I think it was a good thing.
All right, Glenn, you know, you're ready to go back next year? You think it'll be bigger and better there in St. Joe?
Yeah.
I look forward to it. Yeah, because I don't think they're going to switch it up again, so I think we better get used to it. And, you know, I looked it up. It was hot in River Falls as well. Yeah, not as hot. I mean, it's clearly cooler up there, but they had days in the 90s, which they don't usually have. So I think this was an abnormally hot summer throughout the Midwest, even up north. Hopefully it'll cool off a little bit. How about the indoor practice facility? How nice was that?
Oh, yeah, man. That was real nice, man. they got some good facilities over there. It was real nice, and everything was first class, man. And, hey, that's one of the better world facilities I've seen.
Yeah. All right, the Eagles coming in on Friday, as we talked about. The importance of getting a win. I mean, Todd Haley has said, look, we're out there to get work done, to evaluate players. There's a lot of different aspects going on, but anytime you take the field, you want to win. So we know you go out to compete, but how important do you think is it for this team, where it's at in its development, to get a victory either against the Eagles or in the final preseason game?
I think it's important, you know, guys, you know, like I said, because we're working so hard, and, you know, a win we know we're heading in the right direction, but a win would, you know, to solidify that, you know, kind of build confidence going into the season. And, you know, it'll boost morale on the team, you know. So, we try to go out and win every game, and getting a win would be important.
Yeah, I think everybody would love to have a win under their belt, but there's a lot of work to be done. Philadelphia comes in. They're going to be looking to get a win and get their work done as well. San Diego is the regular season opener Monday night, September 13th. What does it mean to be opening the season on Monday Night Football for you?
That means a lot, man. This will be my first one, and then getting to do it in Arrowhead, with a new Arrowhead, you know, it's going to be a good environment, and I think everybody's going to be, you know, full of energy and, you know, just excited that we had this opportunity, and we want to come out and play well at home for our fans, and, you know, and just set the tone all right for the season.
Yeah, when do you start really thinking about the San Diego Chargers? Is it already in your mind? Has it been in your mind for several weeks, couple of months now, or do you hold off on that till you get to the week of?
Yeah, you got to hold off on it a little bit, man. You know, it's exciting to think about, but, you know, you got to just keep taking it one day at a time.
Yeah, it'll be here before you know it. We know that. Yeah. That's for sure. Glenn, all right, before I let you go, my final four quickies, and we'll start with this one. What was the hot spot for the guys in St. Joe?
Walmart.
Yeah, I figured it was going to be something pretty low key. Pretty tired after practice. Probably not a lot going on. All right, who's the toughest offensive lineman you've ever faced?
Probably Waters.
Yeah, B. Waters, not a bad guy. I have to match up with him every day in practice. That's a good test to get you ready for the season. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Why number 72?
I've been 72 since I was in high school, and I don't even know why. I think they just gave me a number, and, you know, I just stuck with it. And I got it when I was at LSU, and I had it available when I got here at Kansas City. So, you know, I just stuck with it.
Yeah, all right. It's just become your number. Fair enough. All right, finally, have you been watching the Jets on Hard Knocks?
I actually haven't, man. I haven't had the opportunity to watch it, man.
I just didn't know. I didn't know if guys made a point to watch that. Probably everybody's different. But I know the fans love watching it. Certainly loved it the year the Chiefs were on there. But didn't know if the guys around the league were watching it. Hey, Glenn, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for stopping by, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, man. You take it easy.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
The off-season workouts are complete. Training camp is underway. The new Arrowhead Stadium is ready to make its Monday Night Football debut. The NFL season is near. Will you be there? Great seats are available with tickets to Chiefs games starting at just $30. Single game Chiefs tickets are on sale now at kcchiefs.com, the stadium box office, or via Ticketmaster. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium and be there when your Chiefs take on the Packers, the Eagles, AFC West rivals the Broncos, Raiders, and Chargers, or the 49ers, Cardinals, Bills, Jags, or Titans. Great seats are available for all games, but won't last long and are subject to availability. Don't wait. Get your single game Chiefs tickets now at kcchiefs.com, the stadium box office, or any Ticketmaster location. The new Arrowhead, new body, same soul.
Big 12 college football action returns to Kansas City in 2010. Tickets are on sale now to see the Kansas State Wildcats take on the Iowa State Cyclones Saturday, September 18th at the new Arrowhead Stadium. The 2009 battle at Arrowhead featured the Wildcats blocking the Cyclones' game-tying extra point with 32 seconds left to preserve the one-point victory. Tickets start at just $20 and are available at the new Arrowhead Stadium box office, Ticketmaster.com, or any Ticketmaster outlet. Head coach Paul Rhodes and his Cyclones look to start the Big 12 conference season off right as they face off against the Wildcats and head coach Bill Snyder for the second year in a row at Arrowhead Stadium. Great seats are available in all levels and start at only $20. Get your tickets now at the new Arrowhead Stadium box office, Ticketmaster.com, or any Ticketmaster outlet. It's the K-State Wildcats and Iowa State Cyclones when Big 12 college football returns to the new Arrowhead Stadium Saturday, September 18th.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. Great to be here, Josh.
We're here to tell you about all the new and exciting things going on at KCChiefs.com.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team, learn about the Chiefs cheerleaders, and much more.
Yeah, buddy.
That's not all. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365. Chiefs 365 is the place for Chiefs fans to interact, give feedback, and be connected with everything Chiefs.
Fan feedback? That is awesome. But Josh, I really want to buy a jersey.
At KCChiefs.com, you can do that too. The Chiefs Pro Shop is the best place on the web. Buy all of your favorite Chiefs gear, gifts, and much more.
Whoa, system overload.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at KCChiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. Wrapping it up here in the Red Zone. Remember, the debut of the new Arrowhead is here. You can get tickets for this Friday's game, Chiefs and Eagles. Just go right here to the website, click on tickets, and you'll see all the information you need to get you a pair of tickets. Also, the Chiefs charity game benefiting the Children's Center for the Visually Impaired. And if you'd like to make a donation to them, you can go to ChiefsCharityGame.com. That is ChiefsCharityGame.com, helping roughly 400 children with visual impairments and other special needs here in the community. A great charity, and they are the recipient of the Chiefs Charity Game this year. So look it up, ChiefsCharityGame.com. Chiefs and Eagles going to debut the brand new Arrowhead Stadium, plus a live practice tonight. Don't forget, you can get out to Arrowhead and check it out. They will be live practicing under the lights in Arrowhead. Your chance to tour all of Arrowhead, all access, even to some spots that you'd have to have some of the club-level tickets to get to. You can check out the club-level without club-level tickets tonight. It is at Arrowhead Stadium, so make your plans to get out there and check out Chiefs practice. Then the game Friday against the Philadelphia Eagles, regular season around the corner. Again, tickets available, season tickets available right there at the website. They'll be happy to take care of you. We'll see how the Chiefs do against the Philadelphia Eagles. I want to thank Glenn Dorsey for joining us in the Red Zone today. I want to thank the guys that worked on the Red Zone, Adam Pellegrino, Brad Young, and Curtis Siebold. This is Soren Petro saying thank you very much for joining us here in the Red Zone.
You've been listening to The Red Zone with Soren Petro. Join us again next week for more discussion of your Kansas City Chiefs. This has been an exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com.